Yeah, just to explain a little bit more of who I am. I am a child of God. And he loves me. So I came to Ormskirk 19 years ago. How scary is that? And I was in OCF 11 years. Still in OCF, but physically here, 11 years. And then the Lord basically said, come follow me on a new adventure. And I firstly did a year out in England called DNA. And then I went for 5 years to Germany to work in a house of prayer there. And then this last year I've been in America working in a house of prayer there. And it's been an adventure. It's been very scary. And I've just had to keep in mind the whole time the Lord saying, follow me. And choosing to say yes. I'm not going to talk a lot, hardly at all, about my mission journey today. I am going to do that at another point, and if you're interested in that, in just hearing about what I've been doing and what the Lord's been doing and what I plan to do in the future with him, then that will probably be, I'm just trying to work it out, but maybe on Sunday the 8th in the evening. I don't have a clue where, but we'll figure that out. But really, it's a story about Jesus, and it's a story about his faithfulness. And if you want to come and hear that, then I'd be very happy to share about how amazing Jesus is. So today, I'm going to talk about a number of things, but mainly about dwelling in the land and how we choose to dwell in the land. But first, I wanted to start with this, a quote from Daryl Johnson. And it says, at the center of the universe is a relationship. This is the most fundamental truth I know. Everything else emerges from it and returns to it. By this relationship we were made, and for this relationship we were made. By this relationship we were redeemed, and for this relationship we were redeemed. By this relationship we are being healed and transformed. And for this relationship, we are being healed and transformed. This, for me, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news, the relationship longs for the world to know and experience. And that's where I want to start today. The center of the universe is a relationship. The very core of everything is a relationship. And it's a relationship of love. And I don't know if you've stopped to think about that before, but it's not... God is not just one, God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he exists in relationship with himself, which sounds a bit funny to us, and that's why the Trinity is difficult for us to grasp. And I'm not going to go deep into the doctrine of the Trinity this morning, but there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit together at the center of the universe in a loving, honoring relationship. So Father honors the Son. Son honors the Spirit. The Spirit honors the Son. The Father honors the Spirit. And it's just this love, cycle of love and honor and joy and everything that's good that you can imagine. There it is in the center of the universe. And it was out of that relationship, out of that love, that everything else was birthed. And everything else goes back to that. And that's the story of salvation. So we were birthed from this kind of womb of love. We came into being, creation came into being, we came into being from this womb of love. True love shares itself. You know, God can't be one. He can't just be one. I mean, he is one, but he can't be just one, because love has to have an object. And we know that God is love, and he must have been love for eternity, so he must have been love before any of us existed. So he must have had something to love, which was himself. Do you see what I mean? Love has to have an object. But also, true love shares itself. And there was so much love there that the Lord wanted to share it. It's like it almost just had to burst forth from that womb of love. And then we have creation. And one of the things about that womb of love, that cycle, that circle of relationship and love, is that we are called into it. When we get saved, we are called into the fellowship of the Trinity. We're called into this relationship of love. We're called into this circle so that we can experience it too. It's not like God's far off having his love party over there and he kind of throws a bit of love to us every now and again. He's like, yes, you've come to me, now step right in to the fullness of who I am, the fullness of joy, the fullness of life, the fullness of healing, the fullness of transformation, the fullness of everything. He says, step in and join me. Not me just coming down to you, but you stepping in to the fullness of everything. And that is what we have in Christ. You see, we're not just, when we get saved, we often think of what we're called out of, which is totally true. We're called out of sin, we're called out of darkness, we're called out of so many things. That's true. And we need to remember that, and we need to, just talking about, somebody was saying about preaching the gospel. It's like, I heard someone say, preach the gospel every day, and do it most to yourself. Because we can, especially as Christians, like, we know the gospel, yeah, we're saved, blah, blah, blah. But we forget what God has saved us from. And we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. That the gospel isn't just about what we've been saved out of, it's about what we've been saved into. And it talks in the Bible, so Ephesians 1:3, there's so many verses, and here's just a few. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not just some, not just a few when he feels like it, but every single blessing, every spiritual blessing in Christ is ours. Ephesians 1:18 talks about the hope that we've been called into. Psalm 91 talks about being under the shadow of his wing, and Psalm 36 the same. It says we find refuge in the shadow of his wing, and then we feast on the abundance of his house. And if you thought about that, you think of the shadow of the wing, you think, I'm protected from danger, I'm protected from the bad things in the world, I'm there safe under his wing, which is true. But also, you're close by his heart. You're in there in the very core of who he is, and his abundance is there. You're called into something, and all those things are available to you to reach for, to ask for, to experience on a day-to-day basis. Also says in Psalm 16 that in his presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And probably a lot of us here think, well, I don't really experience that every day. But the point is, it's available for us to reach for. And if I want to encourage you to anything this morning, it's pursue him. Don't pursue a ministry. Don't pursue whatever else. Pursue him first and foremost. Those things will come, and yes, pursue them in the midst of pursuing him. But first and foremost, pursue him. Pursue Jesus. Pursue the God of love. I know you've been talking about love, and you know, that is the starting point. Everything else is going to birth out of that. Pursue him, and all will come from that. Song of Songs talks a lot about pursuit and love. And there's a very interesting distinction between the friends and the beloved. And the friends, they are also speaking of desire. So they're talking a lot about, oh yes, he is lovely, or she is lovely, or whatever. They talk about desire. But the difference between them and her is that she doesn't just desire, she pursues. And she pursues with all she's got. And also the lover pursues with all he's got. And actually with the Lord, it starts with him. He initiates and we respond. And I want to urge you not to be just ones who desire, but ones who pursue with all that you have. Because he is the goal. He is the point. He is everything. And there's so much more. You know, desire is like saying you recognize that you're hungry and you desire food. Pursuit is saying, okay, I'm hungry and I'm going to go after the food because I'm so hungry. And so I just want to encourage you to pursue him. There's more. There's so much more. So in terms of being brought out of something and then brought into something, I want to talk about what it means to take hold of the land that the Lord's given us. I'm going to talk about that in different ways, but I'm going to start with a bit of my own story with that. I was 5 years in a place called Herrnhut in Germany. The Lord kind of called me there very suddenly. I'm very much a home person. I like my friends, and I like my church, and I like my, you know, I like home. And so to be called into a foreign country where I didn't speak the language, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and et cetera, it was very scary for me. It was a very scary step. It was exciting, but it was scary too. But I made that step and went. And then about halfway through the first year, I was just going through a really hard time. Really, really hard time. I wanted to go home, basically. I was struggling with the language. I didn't feel like I had any friends, even though there were people there. People didn't understand me. I didn't get the culture. And it was just hard. And I was like crying out to the Lord and saying, I can't do this. This is too hard. And the Lord gave me a strange verse from Joshua 18. Joshua 18, verse 3. This is after the Israelites have gone through the Red Sea, been in the wilderness, then gone through the Jordan, and now they're starting to take the land that the Lord's given them. And in 18, verse 3, it says, "So Joshua said to the Israelites, 'How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?'" Not a case of having to take the land. It's already been given, but it's taking in the sense of coming into and dwelling. And for me in that moment, I knew that I was standing there. It's like coming into a new place and standing with this vast, open land before you. And I was like, Lord, I want to go back. I want to go back. It's too scary. It's too big. There's too many obstacles. There's too many giants in the land. I want to go back. I'm frightened. And I was standing at the edge of it. And the Lord was saying, how long before you actually step in and start to dwell? How long before you take that step? And there's many different ways that we can do that. And I began to be like, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And it's a case of taking that step of faith even when you don't know. We were singing it before. It's like even when the healing hasn't come yet, it's like going, I will sing praise, I will sing praise. Because we do it at the point of fear, and that shows our faith. And the Lord responds to that because he knows our hunger for him. And he knows that we're wanting to go with him whatever the cost. And so I made a choice to do that, and I don't regret that at all. There's so much growth, so much healing, so much breakthrough that's come for me through taking those steps. And at different points, not just that one point. But also where I've been able to invest in others. And when you stop and think about that, and even though you may not have been to the nations, just by praying with people of other nations, you could be affecting the whole world by praying with someone from another nation who goes back. And I know that because of taking a step and allowing the Lord to work through me, him through me, has affected the nations. And I don't say that as like, hey, I'm good. I say, yes, let's live in the fullness of the way the Lord wants us to live. I want to talk about different lands, what that might mean, because you might be like, okay, well, what is that? What does it mean to dwell in the land? The first and the most important thing for me in terms of the land is the land of his truth, the land of who the Lord is, the land of revelation of him. And we often, you know, we think, yeah, we've become saved, we know the Lord, and yes, of course, we're growing in him, but there's so much more. And this is a vast land of learning of who he is. And he wants us to step into that first and foremost. He wants us to pursue that first and foremost. He wants us to discover who he is. Many of you are probably on Facebook and know what Facebook is. And Facebook's fine. Got no problem with Facebook. I'm on Facebook. But I heard someone say, we need to get into the book of the face. That's far much, far better than being so into Facebook. Let's get into the book of the face. And this is the book of the face, the book of the Lord. This is power. This is beauty. This is his love letter. This is everything. And if we can often say, Lord, why don't you reveal yourself to me? Well, this is his main way. So read it. And I know it's hard, and I go through seasons where I'm like, and then there's other seasons like, wow. But do it, do it. Do it like you're hungry. And ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who he is, and say, yes, yeah, show me your face from this book, and show me who you are. Make it go inside me, not just as information, but as deep revelation of who he is. Let it transform me. You know, take one verse and just sit and let it, just meditate on it, let it go deep. And it will transform you. I love this book. It's my favorite book. And part of dwelling in the land is saying, okay, Lord, look, this land of who you are is not scary. This is amazing. Let's step into it and discover who God the Father is, who God the Son is, who God the Holy Spirit is. Let's find it out like it's the deepest treasure we could ever look into. Let's spend our life on it, because that's, you know, knowledge of God is what everything else flows from. Otherwise, you'll get it all mixed up. You know, a lot of our, where we need healing, a lot of where we have problems, a lot of our worries stem from because we don't know who he really is. We have a misconception of him. And the only way you're going to get that right is by asking the Holy Spirit to teach you through his word. It says in Ephesians 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. And I love the fact that it says as dearly loved children, because it makes you think of a child kind of walking behind their daddy, you know. Be imitators. You know how little children want to do just what daddy does, you know. And then they put their shoes on and try and walk in them, and they, you know, they try and mimic them, and they want to just be like their superhero or whatever. And that's what God's asking us to do as we get to know him, is be imitators. You know, put on his daddy shoes, go behind him. And the only way you can imitate is by being close, by seeing, by experiencing, by knowing. And so come close, find out who he is, and let him change you as you dwell in that land of who he is. There's this phrase that we become what we behold. We become what we behold. So whatever we spend the most time looking at, that is what's going to affect us most. And that's something to think about. What do I spend most of my time looking at or listening to? It can be voices as well. What defines me? And it's worth stopping to think about that. Maybe ask other people as well. What do you think I spend all my time looking at or listening to? And what we need to be looking at a lot is Jesus. What we need to be listening to a lot is his word, and letting it sink in. Marinate in it for a bit and see what happens. We taste a lot better when we've marinated in Jesus. And yes, it takes discipline, but really, you'll see as you respond to him, it becomes a love-motivated thing. That we receive his love, and then love motivates us to reach out for more love. The second kind of land that we have is the land of our own identity. So first him, revelation of his identity, and secondly, the land of our own identity. When we're saved, we're like, okay, I'm a new creation. I've been born again, therefore I'm like a little baby. What does my identity look like? What was I supposed to be? Who am I? You know? And it's only as we get the first bit in right that we ask, you know, we ask him for revelation of who he is, that we're able to see who we are, because we're made in his image. And so stepping into the land in terms of identity is saying, okay, who do you say I am? What does your word say about who I am? Who am I in light of you? And allowing the Lord to correct our false thinking about who we are. And allow him to pour in the truth of who he's made us to be. And then that moves on to things like calling and gifting and the kind of authority that we have in Christ. We can only understand those things as we understand him first. If we try and understand it apart from that, it just doesn't make any sense. And it becomes striving or it just becomes confusing. But the Lord wants us to get a hold of who we are and to apply it so that we can say, I am a child of God. I am loved by him. And he's made me to be an ambassador on this earth. He's made me to change the atmosphere where I am. He's made me to carry his presence into every circumstance. And when we do that, when we get hold of that, it changes everything. The fear goes, because when we realize it's not about us, it's about him. It's about his power, it's about his glory, it's about his truth. And when we step into that and go, okay, I'm carrying Jesus into this situation. And, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do? And we don't have to do, you know, we don't have to do it. We don't have to make it happen. That's up to him. We just have to be obedient. So revelation of him is discovered. Our identity then grows as we step into that land. And then the other type of land we have is the territory that he gives us. And that could too be, that could be giftings and callings, but it's also the physical place where we are, the relationships that he gives us, the ministries that he gives us. That's also a land that we can step into. And often I think we're waiting for God, like God, to do something in our situation, but he wants us to take a step as well. Amen. I'm going to shift slightly in the midst of this to talk about how you know the season that you're in. Often that what happens when we're thinking about the land that we're in, so the circumstance that we're in, the job that the Lord's given us, or the people that we have around us, we can either be just not conscious of what God wants us to do in that. We just kind of go through the motions. Or sometimes we can be like wishing we were in a different season because it's hard, or I don't like this job, or this relationship's not working, or I'm bored, or I don't have enough money, or, you know, there can be many reasons why we look back and say, it was better when I had this. And maybe it's not about your whole life, but just aspects. This was better, that was better. I can't wait to be back there. Or even just in a future thing of when I such and such, everything will be better. And we can live either in the past or in this future. And it's good to have those things in mind, but we need to live. We only have today. We need to live in the present. And that's what dwelling means then, is to choose to be fully in where the Lord has placed you in the season. And it might not be great, but it can have greatness in it, either for your own growth or for what the Lord wants to do through you. And God works in seasons all the time. It's all through the Bible. He set the whole thing up in seasons and got the Israelites going in season, so and for them it was working around the feasts. So we had the whole year planned out, and he told them to do certain things at certain times, and it was very much a rhythm of life. And the Lord works in rhythms, and he works in seasons, and it's the same for us now. And I encourage you to ask the Lord what season you're in. Not just to kind of keep going along and just like, oh, maybe this will get better or maybe that. But to ask the Lord, okay, what season am I in? What do you have for me in this season? And what do you want for me to do in this season? And it might be that this season is supposed to be a season of rest for you. And if you're forever going out trying to make something of whatever, then you're not embracing what he has for you in this season. Or it might be this season is a season of ministry for you. And you're kind of sitting there thinking, oh, nothing's happening. And he's like, well, go, you know. Or it might be this season is to invest in a certain relationship. Or it might be this season, you know, he can ask you. I mean, he can tell you, ask him. So ask him what the season is for. Is it ask him what growth he wants for you? Ask him what stepping out he wants for you? Ask him what he wants to reveal about himself? And he will tell you. And then if we know that, we're much more able to live in the season. If we know it and think, okay, yeah, this isn't great. You know, it might be that he says, this season is just gritting your teeth and getting through it because there's something better season. And knowing that isn't easy, but it helps then. It's like, okay, there is going to be an end to this, and I'm just going to choose to trust God, even though I can't see. And then you can rest. I'll come to rest in a minute. So you need to know the season. Also, the thing with seasons is they're like a cycle. And one of the problems I think we have in the West particularly is that we've been so brought up on Greek thought that time is in a line and everything moves forward like this. This will make sense in a minute. But Hebrew thought is in cycles. And that's the whole way in the Bible it is. It's cycles. It's rhythms. It's cycles. It goes round like this. And we often get stuck because we think, and we do this a lot as Christians, that we have to, you know, that we've had this problem and we get through it. Lord does some healing. And then we're like, oh, dear. We have some time where it's great. And then we're like, I feel like I've gone back here. And I'm at that problem again. And we think in this line, and we just feel like we're doing this the whole time. We're going back, and we get discouraged because we don't feel like we're moving forward, which is, of course, what we're supposed to be doing, you know, because we live in a line. But Hebrew thought is it's like a circle, and it doesn't just stay like that. It goes like this. And this, what happens then is that we get some healing, we move forward, and then when we get to the point where we're like, oh, wait a minute, here's this thing again that I thought I'd got over. And then we think, okay, well, God's brought it round again, so he must want to go deeper in that healing. He must think I'm ready now to take on another level of healing. It's not that what happened before didn't happen. That was valid, that was good, that was a level of healing, now I'm going deeper. Because we're on a journey that lasts forever, and it's not often that we get this. I mean, we do get those points of breakthrough where it never comes back, but often it's about going deeper. And that can just change your whole perspective then of growth. You're like, okay, we're here again. Great. The Lord wants to take me deeper into him and into healing. Let's go. And you just keep going, and you're going deeper and deeper. And that releases us from this thing of, oh, I'm here again. I didn't get it right last time, or I wasn't really healed, or I'm so crap, you know, whatever. Because that's what often happens is then we just go, oh, backwards. But Lord says, no, this is an opportunity. And there's something great in that because it's showing the Lord saying that you've grown and you're ready for the next level. So I encourage you to think of that when you feel like you're in a place where you're like, it's here again. Then say, yes, let's go deeper. And the final thing, and this is something that the Lord's just beginning to speak to me about, so I'm only bringing it up as a, think about this, because I'm just starting to, that often it talks in the Bible about land and rest being together. We all like the idea of rest. We think, oh, rest sounds so good. And there's this parallel so much in the Bible that when we step into the land and dwell, so give our whole selves to it, then rest comes. And that's kind of hard for us to grasp a lot because sometimes the land looks scary or whatever. But the point is that rest, we often think of rest as being stepping out of something and just, you know, not doing anything. But true rest is not the absence of busyness but the presence of trust. And what happens when we start to dwell in the land is we realize that we can't do this on our own. We can't, you know, step into all these things in our own strength. We need the Lord. And so it causes us to go deeper into trust. And when we trust, we start to lean on him. Because leaning means that you know, if you're leaning on something, you're trusting it's going to hold you. And that's what trust is. It's like, I'm leaning into you because I can't do this myself. And then when you lean, you start to rest. It's like, well, it doesn't depend on me. All I have to do is present myself and say, do what you want to do, Lord. I have to take the step of obedience, and he'll do the rest. I can rest then. And I think that's a really interesting concept about land and rest, and I encourage you to look into it because I haven't got any more to give you right now on that. Just want us to shift our thought processes a bit in terms of land through saying all that. Because we often think of, you know, there's a stepping into a land at the point of salvation, like the kind of crossing the Red Sea bit that is redemption. So we cross the Red Sea and yes, we're now saved. And then there's the walking that out. And then there's the future land of eternity, where everything's going to be in its fullness and we're going to see the Lord face to face and there's going to be joy and healing and everything good is going to be available to us. But there's this land in the middle, and that is the land of sanctification, or the land of restoration, or the land of coming into the fullness of who he is. And that's the land I'm talking about right now. There's so much more for you, and I just say, go for it. Go fully into what he has. And finally, I just wanted to talk a bit about what it means for you to step into the land in terms of the territory, in terms of your workplace, in terms of your friends, in terms of your family. What does that mean? How do you do that? And the essence for me of this, which I've kind of mentioned already, is that we carry the very presence of God. And when we get hold of that, it changes everything. You were born to reflect his glory. You were born to reflect his glory. You are his glory on earth. I wasn't going to say this, but I think I will. So, the Lord God is holy, holy, holy. Have you stopped to think about what that means? He is so far separate from us. He is so, you can use all sorts of words, transcendent, so pure, so the best of everything. Like our brains, our words can't describe it. He is other. He is separate. He is holy. And we could go through every word in the dictionary that's good, and at the end of it, we'll just have to say he's indescribable. He's holy. And yet, through Jesus, and now with Jesus in us, through us, glory has been revealed. His glory has been revealed. So holiness of God is glory concealed, but glory is holiness revealed. So the holiness of God has been made known. It's like God's gone, da-da, here I am. Here I am through creation. Here I am through Jesus. He's the ultimate glory. Here I am. This is what I look like. This is who I am. This is my goodness. This is my truth. This is my love. Da-da, that's glory. And we now carry that glory in us. And we should be like, da-da, this is God, everybody. This is what he looks like. We are the glory of God revealed. Something that is separate that we can't grasp hold of. He's made it known through glory. That's a big concept. I won't go any further into that. But the point is that often we're seeking for when we get hold of the fact that that God wants to save people and that we can make a difference in our situations, then we're looking for this word. So, like, give me a word for somebody, or give me the right thing to say, or give me an opportunity. That's great. But what I want to say is, you are the word. You are the story. You are the testimony. Don't just look for it outside of yourself. Be like, okay, what glory is in me? What revelation of God is in me? What message of the truth is in me that I can be in this situation? Because everybody in this room has a story. Everybody in this room has a testimony. Everybody in this room has a song, if you know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, then he's great. Please get to know him. But if you know the Lord, then you are the story. You are the prophetic word. You are the song that can change the circumstance. And they say, step into it. Step into that and allow the Lord just to use you as you are to declare his glory, to declare his truth. And part of the way that I've been thinking about that recently, the way that we can do that is in a lot of our circumstances around us, people speak death a lot. And by death, I mean negativity. Everything's vanilla. And it might be in response to the news. And yes, of course, there's things that are really bad. But it might just be like complaining about things or this isn't good or no, nothing ever gets better. And there's a lot of that. And we can very easily come into that if we're not careful. But you have life and truth inside of you. And I say, speak life. Speak life. Speak life to your friends. Speak life to each other here. Just, you know, think all the time about speaking life. Speak life to your colleagues. Speak life over yourself. You know, preach the gospel to yourself. Speak life over yourself. Because the word is powerful. And I don't, you know, it might not be easy to go into work and be like, okay, it says in the Bible that blah, blah, blah. But you can still speak the essence of that life over people and change the conversation. And what often we do is we get in line with the conversation that's going on, and so I end up going, and we feel, you know, just as bad as everybody else does. But as if we choose to change the conversation and speak life, it actually just changes it. It changes the atmosphere. And I urge you to try it. And you might get some responses where people say, well, that's all right for you, or blah, blah, blah. But I think generally, as you switch the conversation, people come into that and they'll ask you about it. They'll be like, why are you always so positive? Or why are you always so this? And then that gives you an opportunity to share the life of Christ that's inside of you. It says that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why we have to come back to this thing of what do we have inside of us? What truth have we put inside of us that then can come out in the situations we're in? So my challenge for you today is to think about the land that the Lord's given you, the land that is ahead of you of who he is, the land of your identity, and then the physical land, relationships, the place, and choose to say, yes, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to take a step deeper into who you are, Lord. I'm going to take a step deeper into who I am in you. And I'm going to take a step deeper into what you've put in front of me and ask him to help you be a carrier of his presence. And I can promise you that things will change if you do that. And probably mostly it'll be you, but it'll also be the people around you. Amen.